We'll let people get seated here. Okay, again, our next case is NRA Interest of Jacob.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Zoe Wade and I represent the appellant in this matter, the father who is appealing the juvenile court's termination of his parental rights. Specifically, we are arguing that the court erred in finding clear and convincing evidence that termination was in the minor child Jacob's best interest. This court, as well as the Nebraska Supreme Court, has repeatedly stated that when we are looking at whether or not termination is in a child's best interest, we do not require perfection of a parent. What we look for is there a positive relationship between the parent and the child, and is the parent making progress with their parenting skills? And the record is clear, it's not even in dispute, that both of those factors are present, and for that reason, we are requesting that the order of termination be reversed. Specifically, three witnesses testifying for the state. Rachel Zeller testified she had the opportunity to observe visits, that the father and son were affectionate with one another, that the father was engaged throughout the duration of visits, that he was consistent in attending his visits. Kim Zuter, the previous family permanency specialist, testified that the minor child, Jacob, would seek out his father for comfort and support. She described their relationship as positive, and she testified that the son appeared to be bonded to his father. Finally, Iris Schrum, who supervised visits, also testified that the father was consistent, that Jacob appeared happy with his father during visits, that he was excited when she would pick him up for visits to go and see his father, that they would exchange I love yous, and that she also testified that they appeared to be bonded. So there's no question that there's a positive relationship that existed between his father and son. Additionally, the evidence is quite clear that the father made substantial, I believe Ms. Zeller testified, dramatic improvement in his parenting skills, which is exceptionally remarkable given the unfortunate circumstances at the outset of this case. This was a five-year-old child who was removed, who was not potty trained, who was developmentally behind, who had speech delays, and there were a lot of concerns about the father's ability to really recognize the developmental milestones of a five-year-old child and to meet them.
The other evidence, though, that was fairly striking is the condition of the home, the fact that never seemed to improve, including moving to a new residence where, you know, the slate was clean, and within 30 days we had the same issues going on again.
Certainly, and that is very important, especially when you look at the incredible improvements that the father made in his parenting skills, to the point where there were no concerns at the time of the termination hearing about this father's ability to supervise his child, about his ability to recognize safety risks, to provide appropriate meals. He had overcome a lot of obstacles, and he had come from a background where he did not have adequate parental role modeling. He resided with his father throughout the life of this case, and this is a situation where the state's efforts to assist the father in overcoming these issues were doomed to failure because they were not really designed to get at the underlying issues. The caseworker thought if we just move to a new home that things will be fine, and that's rarely the case. The father, my client's own father and his girlfriend, who had contributed to some of the safety concerns, had his diabetic needles out, who was essentially my client's role model growing up, also moved it with him. And so the conditions of the home persisted. But you raise, I think, the issue, the crux of this case, which is whether or not these services that were implemented were really well designed to get at those issues. At the outset of the case, the father, Nicholas, agreed to and willingly participated in a psychological evaluation to include parenting assessment, intellectual testing, and the end results, there were very specific recommendations that were made that this is somebody who needs to work with a specialist with experience working with individuals with intellectual limitations. It is striking that every single witness that testified for the state all perceived that there might be intellectual functioning issues with this father. That is, he presented as somebody who was slow, there was numerous concerns raised about his ability to really understand applications to meet this parent's needs. By the time we get to the termination hearing, you have a family permanency specialist who took over this case after being, had only completed her training as a family permanency specialist 1 month before acquiring this family on her caseload. She was not even aware at the time of the termination hearing that there was a recommendation for a therapist with this specific qualification.
Was there ever a motion made during the pendency of this matter for a different expert to...
There was not, Your Honor.
What about a guardian ad litem for the father? Was that ever requested?
It was requested, and there was a guardian ad litem that was appointed to this case. But the question is whether or not the services that were implemented were, in fact, doomed to failure for failing to incorporate, in fact, even failing to be aware of that recommendation. And I would submit to this court as an analogy, if you have a child that is determined to be dyslexic, and you have an individualized education plan that recommends that a reading specialist be employed to assist this child, and you don't put that in place, you put this child in a class with a regular class with a teacher who's maybe just graduated, who might be enthusiastic but might not have the qualifications to recognize the particular needs of this child, you're not likely to see success. And you heard Dr. Stephanie Peterson, who did the evaluation, testify. She predicted, when asked, if you arranged therapy with essentially a regular or run-of-the-mill therapist, it was her testimony, her prediction, that an ordinary therapist who's not equipped to deal with a parent who has these kinds of issues, you would most likely see continued failure to make progress, which is exactly what you saw in this case. It should be noted this is the only area where the father failed to progress. He completed his vocational rehabilitation program. He found full-time employment, and he maintained that employment for the better part of a year. This was a parent who was extremely proud of the progress that he had made and who had, in terms of his parenting skills themselves, had come leaps and bounds to where he was at the time of the termination hearing.
So what other services were provided to your client with regard to the cleanliness of the house issue? What other services were provided to him?
There was a family support worker who was put in place to provide numerous issues, address numerous roles, who I believe had indicated, and I think it was through the testimony actually of the family permanency specialist, that the father had achieved all of his goals except for the cleanliness of the home. There's no disputing that the cleanliness or the condition of the home did not improve. The therapist who was put in place did not focus on, she testified that the goals that she worked on with this father were essentially 30% of the time she worked with his anxiety and depression over the fact that a motion to terminate his parental rights had been put in place. 70% of the time she worked with him on essentially a chore chart, meeting with him every week, setting goals for different chores to be accomplished, personal hygiene issues to be addressed, and that was it. It was a weekly chore chart. That was what was put in place specifically to address this parent's ability to maintain a clean and safe and stable home. But it's clear from the evaluation that was done almost a year previously by Dr. Stephanie Peterson that that wasn't what was really required, that he had a lot of underlying issues, that his own mother had lost three previous children prior to him being born. She believed that he had grown up in I can't remember her exact description, but essentially and he had most likely grown up in a home that was not outfitted for the raising of children. So he did not possess a lot of basic skills. So this isn't a situation where you have somebody who is aware of their parenting deficiencies. In fact, he was very rigid. He did not recognize that the condition of the home really was at the degree that other participants in the case viewed it as, and he really needed assistance, especially given his low average intellectual functioning, his possible, I think she indicated there was a possibility of brain damage from a drowning incident from being a child, and from his concrete way of thinking that he really needed a specialized service that was in place. And that was not only was it not implemented, the therapist that was implemented, that was provided, wasn't even aware that that was a recommendation, nor was the caseworker who referred that service out aware of the recommendation or whether or not this therapist possessed those qualifications.
So it's your position that if he had received the more specialized services, which Dr. Peterson suggested he needed, that at least he may have had an opportunity to improve and acquire some of these skills, but would you agree that after, if he gets those services and there's a certain period of time of training through those services, if he cannot acquire those skills, it's a problem?
I would certainly agree with the conclusion that it would be a problem. Unfortunately, at this point, we don't really know.
Because you feel he hasn't had the precise type of services that he needs because of his underlying psychological issues?
It raises a question, you know, why do we have people undergo these psychological evaluations in the first place to make these recommendations if we're not going to implement the services that are really designed to address the needs that are being identified? And with that, I will submit.
Thank you very much. We understand that we have a senior certified law clerk with us today. Please come on forward and we welcome you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Jocelyn Brasher, Senior Certified Law Clerk in the Douglas County Attorney's Office, appearing on behalf of the State of Nebraska with Amy Schuckman, Deputy County Attorney. The Separate Juvenile Court of Douglas County did not err in finding that it was in the best interest of the minor child, Jacob, that appellant's parental rights be terminated. Therefore, the State respectfully requests this Court affirm the findings of the Separate Juvenile Court of Douglas County for the following reasons. Appellant made little progress in his ability to parent Jacob. Appellant was never able to be in a position where he could care for and provide safe and appropriate housing for Jacob due to the conditions of his home. Additionally, reasonable efforts were offered and provided to assist with reunification and eliminate the need to terminate appellant's parental rights, but the efforts offered and provided were unsuccessful.
Counsel,
however,
let me just stop you there. Do you agree with appellant's argument that the assessment that was performed on the father was not really followed in terms of the recommended help that he needed?
No, Your Honor. I just wanted to first answer your question by noting that appellant did not assign reasonable efforts as an error in their assignment of errors for this appeal. However, appellant argues because the recommendation for appellant by Dr. Peterson was not followed, that it was doomed to failure is incorrect because Dr. Peterson did administer an IQ test on appellant, and the results indicated that appellant had a low average functioning intellectual functioning. However, appellant was not in the range of cognitive impairment. Appellant was provided a therapist who said she was able to give him the time that he needed. She spent time with him addressing issues such as appellant's stress and anxiety, as well as his personal hygiene, cleanliness, and safety in the home, the latter being what actually led to Jacob being adjudicated and brought into the system. Also, appellant quit going to his therapy before appellant was able to reach his goals. This was against the advisement of the therapist, Ms. Sorum. Additionally, Dr. Peterson, the appellant's witness, testified that in order to be successful in therapy, you have to attend therapy. And appellant did not. He quit attending therapy.
Do you believe other reasonable efforts were made
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. Appellant was offered, just a moment, I'm sorry. Appellant was offered numerous services, which included, but were not limited to, individual therapy, supervised visitations with his son, psychological evaluation, parenting assessment, IQ testing, Title 10 daycare for Jacob, medical care for Jacob, family team meetings, initial assessment, ongoing assessment, assistance in cleaning appellant's home. There were workers actually going into appellant's home, getting things cleaned up for him. Appellant was given assistance in obtaining new housing, and appellant was provided with a guardian ad litem for this case. Appellant was given over a year and a half to improve his parenting skills, as well as the condition of his home. However, he did not.
Did he not make some improvement in some areas?
There was some improvement in certain areas. There was a concern about the nutritional meals that appellant was providing, and that was improved upon. However, appellant consistently attended visits with his son, And appellant argued that because Ms. Zeller and Ms. Trum did not report any safety concerns during the visits, that appellant was making great improvements in his parenting skills and abilities. However, there is testimony that appellant was still requiring redirection just days before the termination of parental rights hearing at visitations with his son.
Did this ever move out of supervised visitation?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, no.
And how often was the supervised visitation taking place?
Visitations, appellant was given 3 days a week to have visits with his son. However, appellant was becoming overwhelmed and actually requested that visits be reduced. And per his request, visits were reduced to twice a week. And appellant was given the option at any point in time that if he wanted to have visits increased again, all he would have to do is let the workers know, and visits never increased past twice a week after they were reduced. The Nebraska Supreme Court held in In Re Interest of Sunshine A, a significant piece of evidence bearing on the issue of whether termination of parental rights is in the best interest of the child is the fact that while in foster care, the child's arrested state of development at the time of removal from custody is being reversed. That court also held in the same case that evidence that 3 children have grown and thrive since their removal from their mother's custody, and that inappropriate behavior and educational deficiencies had been corrected when they were removed from the mother's home, was sufficient evidence to establish that the termination of the mother's parental rights was in the best interest of the child, the children.
Does the state agree with the argument of appellant that there was a bonding here between the father and son, that there was affection shown? And
there is testimony that appellant and Jacob appeared to be bonded. However, Ms. Zeller testified that she does not believe that it is in Jacob's best interest for him to stay in foster care, and it was her opinion that appellant's parental rights should be terminated. Appellant was never able to be in a position where he could provide permanency or reunify with his son due to the conditions of his home. Jacob was never even able to visit appellant in his home due to the poor conditions, and the poor conditions of his home that never improved provide little comfort that appellant will ever, even in the near future, be able to provide the permanency that Jacob needs.
So it's your position that notwithstanding what kind of assistance is provided, that you feel that nothing will change in terms of the cleanliness of the home?
The appellant concedes that nothing changed in cleanliness of the home, and yes, the state agrees with that statement.
What kind of help was he provided in that regard?
With cleanliness of the home?
To try to change a whole lifestyle. I mean, he apparently grew up in kind of an impoverished situation, didn't really have a very good understanding of how to maintain a home, living with a father who maybe contributes to some of that problem. So what was the specific training or instruction that he was given to help him overcome a lifestyle change?
I would say appellant's therapist. I mean, he did have the psychological evaluation. He had parenting assessments, initial assessments. He was, you know, underwent everything to kind of determine what he needs. And then the services were put into place to kind of address what they felt that he needs. And he was provided therapy, and he quit going to therapy. And so he was not successful.
So you're saying therapy should help someone figure out how to scrub their bathroom?
Or,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
What is the hands-on kind of help that somebody like this gets to become a better housekeeper?
There were workers who were actually going into appellant's home, cleaning his house with him. He was offered family support who was helping him in efforts to clean his home. And it was also addressed in therapy, and I think that's one of appellant's complaints, is that this issue of cleanliness was being addressed in therapy, but she was giving him a weekly tour chart. She was helping him with cleanliness, personal hygiene, and just safety in general in the home. That was addressed in therapy.
Because these are obviously tough issues, right? I mean, we're talking about terminating a parent's rights because he doesn't know how to maintain a home. That appears to be the primary issue here, right?
Yes.
because he has a great relationship with his son, right?
Yes, Your Honor. Appellant does appear to be bonded with appellant. I mean, appellant was still requiring redirection and visitations. That did not improve. However...
So you're saying it's more than just housekeeping. He was really unable to know how to provide proper direction for his child.
However, this court, as well as the Nebraska Supreme Court, have held in several cases that where a parent is unable or unwilling to rehabilitate themselves in a reasonable amount of time, an appellant was given over a year and a half to rehabilitate himself.
Was my calculation, if I remember, I think it was from January to August, to the following August, so...
January 2013 to August 2014.
So 20 months.
20 months. And Jacob was in foster care that entire time. That if a parent is not able to, and that may very well be the case here, is that he's just unable to rehabilitate himself in a reasonable amount of time, best interests of the child require termination of parental rights. Are there any further questions?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I just would like to note that the state requests this court to affirm the decisions of the juvenile court. Thank you for your time.
Does Ms. Wade have any time left? She's over. All right, thank you very much. The case is submitted.
Thank you.
Our next case.